Chapter 37. The beat of a hammer jarred me awake. It took a few seconds to realize that the constant rhythmic pounding was my pulse throbbing against my eardrums. For a few minutes, I lay still, hoping the pain would subside. I was cold and wet, which evidently came from lying on the ground, not in my bed, but why was I not there? Finally, with a great effort, I opened my eyes as memory seeped back. The last place I remembered was the Carver estate. Now I lay across rocks and soggy grass, and the pungent scent of cedars filled my nostrils. I was cold all the way to my very bones, and because I was on my stomach, the bottoms of cedars and rocks were all I could see. I tried to stop shivering and remember what had happened. With a great effort, I flopped onto my back. The branches of a tree rose above me, and beyond that, a few high-flying clouds covered and uncovered the face of the moon. It was not quite dark, just somewhere between sunset and night, the time of day that my grandparents would have called the gloaming. Slowly, I sat up, holding my head with both hands to keep it from exploding. My fingers touched a sizable knot on the back of my head, and I closed my eyes until a wave of nausea and pain passed. Pushing myself to my feet, I stood, wobbling, but at least I was standing. The last thing I remembered was a noise behind me. Someone must have crept up and hit me on the head with something hard and unforgiving. Why had my attacker not killed me while I lay helpless? Remembering the reason I had come on this mission, I glanced at my purse, lying open on the ground. I bent cautiously, picked it up, and looked inside. I probed the corners, checking every pocket, but there was no hint of white cloth anywhere. If someone had nearly killed me to get that remnant of material, it must be important. Did the person who had done this think I was actually dead? My head felt as if it had been a close call. The fact that I was only a few feet from the spot where Miss Evangeline had died was not lost on me. Each movement jarred my head as I tried to retrace my route. Closing my lips against the pain, I hurried, lest my attacker still lurked and was, perhaps, watching. I had to get out of here. Besides, if Cade returned Ulysses and found me gone, he'd start a search party. How would I explain setting out by myself to the scene of a crime to find a small scrap of material? It sounded crazy, even to me. At last, I reached the barn. I glanced toward the mansion. Lights glowed from the downstairs windows. How friendly and welcoming they seemed. Deceitfully so, because surely it was someone within those walls who had followed me and knocked me unconscious. But who? Was it just one person, or was the whole Carver clan in some sort of conspiracy to get rid of everyone who stood between them and an inheritance? I was grateful that I had not become victim number 4, at least not yet. Hoping no one within the house chanced to peer out of a window, I scurried up the road until I reached my car. I fumbled in my purse for the key, unlocked the door, and more or less fell inside. I rubbed my eyes to clear them of a film that threatened my vision, jabbed my key into the ignition, started the engine, turned around, and pointed my SUV back toward Edna Lee. I would not feel safe until I was inside my house. Darkness had truly fallen by the time my driveway came in sight. Lights shone from the carriage house. I breathed a blessing on Cordy and Gerald, asking the Lord to keep them safe from Cordy's evil uncle. Had Mo been the one who knocked me out? Had Ulysses been able to find him? My yard looked as if somebody was having a party. Lights blazed from every window. Pat's and Jackie's cars, Cade's truck, and Gerald's car were parked in the driveway. All hope of sneaking back home and keeping quiet until I could think about my escapade and decide who I wanted to tell and how much flew out the window. Evidently, Cade had returned Ulysses, found me gone, and rounded up a posse.